We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the award-winning RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Prize Picks. It's Thursday, May 9th. I'm Doc. He's Rick. We're going to figure out these nuggets right after this.
And we welcome you to the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Prize Picks. It is Rick Kamla with FSWA Hall of Famer Steve Alexander, a.k.a. Dr. A. And we got a lot to unpack here today. We've got a big win last night for the New York Knicks. Nikola Jokic won MVP. We've got to look ahead to tonight's doubleheader. We'll have you covered from ATS to the Prize Picks projections. We will also have some DFS analysis for you. But, Doc, I know, and I saw you on Twitter last night, and I quote retweeted this, and, you know, hopefully everybody is out there using the link and you know, sharing the link with their friends and all that kind of stuff. But let's get into this Denver, Minnesota thing, man. The series will resume tomorrow, but Doc, the floor is yours, man. Hit me hard.
Well, I'm not going to hit you hard. We've had an ongoing thing all year. I've had Boston. You've had Denver. You're all in on Denver. You're like, Boston can't beat this Denver. This Denver team, oh, legendary. Boston can't hang with these guys. And then your little former Timberwolves, the little engine that could come in there and just punch them in the face back-to-back nights in Denver. And I don't know that any of us really saw it coming. I mean, if I had a bunch of money on Denver, I'd be pretty sad right now. But, you know, you reminded me of something that I had forgotten, and that is that this is not over yet. They still have to win. The Wolves still have to win two more games. And Jokic is now your MVP. This team has been there before. Even though I didn't love what Mike Malone was saying after game two, and they were like, how are you guys going to come back from this? And he said, well, it's going to be very difficult. It's not going to be easy. Sort of like I felt like he had resigned that this may be over. And then we got Chuck Barkley in our ear telling us it's all but over. It's going to be a sweep. But it's not over yet. I tell you what, the Denver coming back and winning this series would flip the entire playoff script upside down.
So, Doc, a couple of things. I still think that Boston can't beat Denver. That's what we've been talking about all year, right? Because Boston's going to win the East. We all pretty much, well, the Knicks might have something to say about that. But we all believe Boston's going to win the East. So, okay. And, you know, heading into the series, we, you know, most of us thought Denver was going to win the West. So that was kind of the clash of the Titans, the collision course that we thought we were on all year. Well, maybe not. So I do not have to make any kind of retraction with the Denver-Boston thing. They may not ultimately play at the mountaintop, but I still will die on that hill that I think Denver in a seven-game series would beat the Boston Celtics. Now, to the task at hand, Doc, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Doc, I have not seen defense that good in game two since the no-fly zone Ben Wallace Detroit Pistons 20 years ago when they won the chip in 2004. Coincidentally, Doc, that was the other best year in franchise history for the Minnesota Timberwolves when they won the West. KG was MVP, and they lost to the Lakers in the West Finals because Sam Cassell blew a tire before that series. He had a torn hip. So do I think Denver's going to get by Minnesota? I'm keeping hope alive, but it doesn't look good, Doc. It does not. You've got – has Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray ever looked worse to you? More frustrated, more inept? Doc, they can't even make passes. They can't even get shots off, let alone dial in their surgical abilities. They can't even get to the point of their surgical abilities coming through. Minnesota's like chopping off the head of the snake. They can't even get there.
Yeah, it actually reminds me of like when I would go to Park and Rec and play basketball, and the best defensive player on the other team would guard me, and I was like, well, this isn't going to be any fun for me. I'm just an old guy out here hobbling around. I'm not going to be able to fight through screens and beat this guy off the dribble. Like, this stinks. And that's the way it looks like everybody who's guarding Denver right now. And I've never – I made this comment yesterday with Brewski on a show, and that was – I've never really seen Nikola Jokic be this weird and be this out of it and be this annoyed and this frustrated to the point where he was doing like nitpicky stuff on the court that was just sort of, I was like, man, that's not cool. Like, what are you doing? Like, just keep your head in the game, man. For the first time ever, I actually sort of dislike the Denver Nuggets, and I want Minnesota to run over them, to continue to run over them. I really didn't like the Jamal Murray stuff, obviously. But Jokic, I just want to go home and love on my horses. Oh, I won MVP. I don't care. The whole shtick is getting old. It reminds me of Pop trying to be funny all the time back in the day. And I'm over it. I can live without Denver Nuggets in the playoffs.
You the man. That was a great rant. That was a great rant right there, man. That was a great rant. Do you remember the series? I believe it was Phoenix. Okay. And Murray might have been hurt. Porter might have been hurt. This is before Denver was really good. Okay. There was a series where Jokic and I'm pretty sure it was Phoenix. I see Chris Paul. I think I see Chris Paul here. But you remember Jokic lost his freaking mind at the end of that series. I think he got thrown out of the game. And he just like melted down, lost his cool, mad at the refs. I think he hard fouled Chris Paul or something. Like,
it was Markieff Morris. Didn't he take Markieff Morris out?
Now that was a different thing. That was the little tussle with Miami when he shoved.
Oh, my bad.
I think it was Markieff. Shoved Markieff Morris in the back. Markieff missed most of the year. Anyway, we've seen Jokic like lose his cool before. So I've been down that road before, but Jokic is the best player on earth. Jokic, previous to this series, was thought to be by people like me unstoppable. He's not unstoppable. Minnesota has found a way to stop him. People say that Steph Curry is unstoppable. Steph Curry is definitely stoppable, okay? If you blitz him and you double him and you just send two at him the whole game and take the ball out of his hands, you're going to take Steph and neutralize his superpowers, okay? And you're going to give up some stuff on the other end, maybe a swing, Moses Moody wide open three ball. Okay, what do you want to live with here? You can minimize Steph Curry. I didn't think that there was any possibility that anybody could minimize Nikola Jokic. They throw doubles at him. He skewers doubles like Patrick Mahomes. You put Kristaps Porzingis on him at 7'3". He just does what he does. He'll either put the ball on the floor, drive around him, pass the ball, get it back, do his stuff. It doesn't matter, okay? The Timberwolves have solved the riddle that is the Denver Nuggets. And, Doc, let's flip this for a minute, all right? This is, to me, great news for the Boston Celtics because, especially with Porzingis maybe in a weird zone moving forward, I don't think Boston can beat Denver. But if Denver's out, now you're maybe looking at a Boston and a Minnesota, maybe a Boston and either a Dallas or an OKC. And I like Boston's odds against that three-pack of West teams more than I do Denver. And, you know, signing up for a Minnesota thing right now? Hey, you know, bring on the Wolves. I mean, hello, who wants to play this Wolves team right now, right? But I haven't seen, you know, Boston lose to Minnesota like that. I saw Denver, and I mean, these were like in-season playoff games when Denver and Boston played. And Denver's execution, the two-man action with Jokic and Murray, Murray went off in those games. And Boston doesn't have an answer, even with Derek White and Drew Holiday and Jaylen Brown. They don't have an answer for Denver. But, Doc, guess what? Minnesota does. Minnesota has dropped a whale into the swimming pool that is this NBA playoffs, dude.
Well, and back to just how good their defense looks. And, like, Naz Reid might be the most underrated player in the league. So, I mean, you've got Naz Reid out there playing like an all-star, sixth man of the year. Knows his role on that team so well that it's almost hard to believe how well he knows it. And then you've got the whole Rudy Gobert's having a kid. We don't need him. I mean, we're only playing against Jokic in the playoffs at Denver. We don't need him for game two. We're good. We'll let Kat and Naz do it. And Kat and Naz did it. And it's something else. And this whole Anthony Edwards, every time he speaks into a microphone, it just doesn't matter. Everything he says is right. And everything he says, his teammates believe and come along with him. And I tell you what, man, this between the having Luke out there and having Denver out there and having OKC and Minnesota doing this, so young. This is one of my favorite playoffs ever.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
We love the young dudes around here. Us fantasy guys tend to love the young dudes, right? We want what's next. We want what's hot and shiny and glistening. And sometimes we tire of, you know, guys that are in the way of these young hotshots. And there's that vibe going on in these playoffs. Doc, just lastly here on Minnesota and Denver, and then we'll get into the events of last night. Let's look ahead to game three a little bit here. Jamal Murray will play. Basically, the entire world thinks he should be suspended. I don't. I'm fine with the fine and allowing him to play in game three. The throwing the stuff on the court in the direction of a rep just didn't rise to the level of a suspension for me. If they would have kicked him out of that game, that would have been punishment enough, but they didn't. And so now I don't think you can retroactively do it. Anyway, Doc, to me, the only hope that Denver has, is the Timberwolves being the Timberwolves. That's the only hope they have. If this just plays straight in the Timberwolves' history and all the choke artistry and all the suctitude and all the ineptitude, if that does not rear its ugly head, this series is over, Doc. Okay, but what do we know about the Minnesota Timberwolves? They can't have nice things. It's always something. They will get in their own way. Maybe Ant-Man culture has changed all that. And it looks like it's on its way to doing that, Doc. But there is a reason why I am divorced from my Wolves. As I said 10 million times on NBA TV for 17 years, my Wolves, my Wolves. I would see Sam Cassell like in an arena or something. I wouldn't even say, hi, how's the family? I would just say, Wolves, okay? And he would say back to me, Wolves, all right? And we would walk on with a smile and a little wink or something like that, okay? Why did I divorce myself from that? Why would I divorce myself from buddying up to the great Sam Cassell? Why would I do this, okay? Because they tortured me, Doc, for 40 years. 4-0. I had to get out. Okay, so is Minnesota all of a sudden going to cleanse that history, run and hide from that history, which is virtually impossible for teams to do? If they can do that, they're going to win this series, Doc. To me, that's Denver's only hope. Is the Wolves going to wolf? Okay, and it could be a bad call by a ref. It could be a turned ankle. It could be a lucky shot by Denver. It could be a lot of stuff. It could be a fan stripping naked and running out on the court and changing the dynamic of the game. I don't know. It's always something with this team. But that, Doc, to me, is Denver's only hope.
Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across the country. Prize Picks is really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. Tonight, for example, or actually the next two nights, I like Ant Edwards with more than 28.5 points against the Nuggets on Friday, along with Donovan Mitchell to score less than 31.5 points against the Celtics tonight. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, an enormous selection of players and stat types are what makes Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Download the app today and use code ROTOPOD for a first deposit match up to $100. That's promo code ROTOPOD for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Download Prize Picks today and use code ROTOPOD for a first deposit match up to $100. Sign up now.
So you're jumping me here. So what's up with game three, dude? How does Denver get back in this? Is it cooked? Is the series over? What's up?
I'm going to go with the Wolves are not going to wolf. And the Wolf, there's a new Wolf in town. And his name is Anthony. And he came from down here in Georgia. And he went up to the icy lake land of Minnesota, and he's taken over the world. Sort of like the devil went down to Georgia, sort of like that song.
But reversed, right?
But yeah, I think you're right. I think the only way Denver comes back and wins this thing is if Minnesota lays off the gas. And dude, like, you've seen the memes out there where it shows like 30 Wolves out there like playing defense against five players, and it looks that way at times. Like you said, that's the best defense you've seen since Ben Wallace in Detroit. Dude, that game too might have been the best defense I've ever seen in a playoff game. Like, Denver could not do anything, and because of that, I think it's over. I think we've had two games of this. So game one, they come out and get smacked in the mouth and make no adjustments for game two, except that Rudy Gobert's not there. And then you get smacked in the mouth even harder and look more frustrated than you did the first time. Now we're going home. Frenzied is not probably going to do justice to what's going on inside that arena tomorrow. It's going to be insane. And I think the Wolves are going to sweep.
Wow. I can tell you that we are all on Friday night from Target Center going to be feeling a franchise existence worth of emotion from that crowd. Doc is right, because this is, think about it. Even back in 2004, and I was a Timberwolves fan back then, and I was very gassed up with the Sprewell, Cassell, Garnett vintage of that team. But that was still the Kobe and Shaq ruling the NBA at the time, level that we were at. They had a three-peat. They lost in 03. San Antonio won that chip. And so LA was coming back, full of piss and vinegar, looking to get, a fourth in a five-year span. And they beat the Wolves, obviously. I think the Wolves would have been a lot more competitive with a healthy Sam Cassell, but he wasn't healthy. And then, LA went and lost to Detroit 4-1. Rick Fox, who I worked with on NBA TV for many, many years, Doc, told me, because I asked him one time, what the hell happened in that finals? I mean, you guys, we all thought you were going to win, and it was a 4-1. Well, how'd that flip like that? He said, Cam, we were mentally exhausted. All of us, Shaq, Kobe, me, Fisher, Phil, he said we were all just mentally completely wiped out from the three-peat, the 03, the 04 run. The Kobe and Shaq stuff was really starting to bubble and come to a head and create a really like weird situation. And he just said it all, our brains were just fried going into that Detroit series. And you saw that. Okay, so let's move on to tonight, Doc. Look back at last night. The Knicks over the Pacers. And I want to start with this, Doc, and get you cranked up. Knicks win the game 130-121. There's a million elements to unpack. Jalen Brunson had his Willis Reed moment on the anniversary of Willis Reed coming through the tunnel, with Marv Albert on the call and back in the grainy days with the video and stuff like that. Had the foot injury, missed the second quarter, came back, had 29. And Doc, really watching him just do whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted, against the dumbass strategy of keeping Andrew Nembhard on him, not doubling him, no TJ McConnell, no Aaron Nesmith. Like, what is that? But he had 29. The only thing keeping him from a fifth straight 40-point game, Doc, was that injury, in my opinion.
Yeah, and the only time Jalen Brunson didn't look like an all-star was when TJ McConnell was messing with him. So I don't know why. And TJ McConnell had 10 points and 12 assists. Tyrese Haliburton was much better last night, but he's been weird since the all-star break. So I would rather, you gotta change something up. If you're going to, you need someone to stop Jalen Brunson from going off every single game, because right now he's unstoppable. And if you can't stop him, I don't know if you can beat the Knicks. So I would rather see TJ McConnell or somebody else try to guard Jalen Brunson, because Nembhard is not stopping him at all. He's not even slowing him down.
No, dude, he's not. And so Jalen Brunson goes off. So look, Doc, you're right. Okay. And we'll get to the Carlisle thing in a minute. I have so many questions for Rick Carlisle, this is a weird one for me. I'm buddies with Rick Carlisle. I am. And we talk music and like I'm buddies with him. Okay. And right now I'm mad at Rick Carlisle. We'll get to that in a minute. Like it was literally one of the worst coaching performances I've seen in a playoff game in a long time. Actually, not a long time. You got to go back to last year, Coach Bud against Miami. Not putting Giannis Antetokounmpo on Jimmy Butler was just horribly, horribly stupid. Doc, we have a new injury for the New York Knicks. It's not enough that Mitchell Robinson is now out for the year. It's not enough that Bojan Bogdanovic is now out for the year. It's not enough that Julius Randle has been out for the year for quite a while. OG Anunoby picked up a hamstring injury last night. He had 28 points through three quarters, Doc. It's the best offensive playoff game of his life, and he couldn't finish it because of this injury. And now where the heck are we going from here? I guess the only silver lining is it's not a reoccurring injury to his right elbow, right, that got surgery, and then he came back, re-injured it, had to miss a bunch more games. But we got another injury to OG Anunoby. Is this OG Ono?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. I didn't like the way it looked on TV. And, you know, he's standing there holding it, and he's hobbling off the court. And I find it hard to believe that he'll be able to play in the next game. And, you know, OG is sort of like the swing man in the series. I feel like if the Pacers had OG Anunoby on their team, they would win the series. The Knicks have it, OG, so they're going to win because he's a guy. You know, if the Pacers had him, they could put him on Brunson and try to slow Brunson down. They could try some different things defensively. The fact that he played that well offensively last night was just kind of crazy. But OG is part of the Knicks. He's not on the Pacers, so that doesn't matter. I'm not even sure why I'm talking about that. But Pacers got to figure this out, man. They have two home games to go home and right the ship. Series doesn't start until you win on somebody's home court, you know, until you win on the road. So they're fine, but they need to figure this out. And, you know, Carlisle crying about the refs and Halliburton just looking kind of weird. And I don't know, man. I feel like the Pacers were way better in December and January than they are right now.
You're right. You're definitely right about that, Doc. And it's really the Halliburton thing. It was the hamstring injury. Now he's got the back spasms. It was a really weird game from Halliburton. He had a phenomenal first half and then took the foot off the gas once again. But another Knick element that I want to talk with you about, Doc, is the Nova Knicks. Okay. Josh Hart and Dante DiVincenzo. Look, dude, big fan of both of these guys at Villanova. Big fan of both of these guys. What they are doing right now, Doc, come on, man. Like, I'll put it this way. I thought it was ridiculous that Jalen Brunson was a second-round pick. I covered that draft. I was at Barclays for the draft, covering it for NBA Entertainment with Dennis Scott. And I'm like, how did Jalen Brunson fall to the second round? So am I surprised that Brunson is now an MVP candidate? Yeah, I definitely am, okay? But I thought his game was going to translate to the NBA. Again, not to this level. But, Doc, you're telling me that Dante DiVincenzo is erupting for 40-point games in the regular season, setting the Knicks season single-season record for three balls in a season. What? 28 points last night. If it's a big shot, it's going in off of Dante's fingers. Josh Hart. I mean, he plays every minute of every game, which is so freaking cool. Josh Hart goes 19-15-7 last night. I mean, again, I really like these guys at Nova. I thought they were going to be super quality role players in the NBA for a long, long time. Josh Hart and Dante DiVincenzo are doing north of role player stuff right now, Doc. The Nova Knicks are incredible.
Well, and I thought when Julius Randle went down and the Knicks had all these injuries, everybody was kind of like, well, they're done. And I thought they were done, but I didn't know Dante DiVincenzo was this good. And I knew Josh Hart was a pretty good player. I didn't know he was this good. I didn't know he was 15, 16 rebounds every time he hits the court good. Tommy Thibodeau throwing our guys out there for 48 minutes a night, man. I'm telling you, like, you either love it or you hate it, but if you're a fantasy guy, and you've got Josh Hart on your team, and you know he's going to go out and play 48 every night. Let's go, man. I love it. I love the throwback vibe this series has. I love the fact that Josh Hart is dropping an F-bomb right into the microphone of Reggie Miller last night as he's trying to, like, mess with Reggie. And then you got Spike, and you got autographs, and you got all these dudes in the garden, you know, old school. Like, it's just such a fun environment. And, what's weird about it to me is, you know, I'm a Pacers guy, and I've been saying all year, I can't believe Rick Carlisle, of all people, actually has a fun basketball team, and suddenly now they're not fun. Like, there's nothing fun about these Pacers right now, except maybe Obi Toppin is getting some revenge against New York, and TJ McConnell is getting to play. But this has not been as fun as a Pacer fan as I had hoped. Hopefully they'll turn around when they get back to Indiana.
Well, we'll find out about that. But Rick Carlisle, as we now shift to the Pacer side of this thing. Oh, my God. So if on one side you have a masterpiece, right? Like the defensive masterpiece authored up by the Wolves against the Nugs in game two. So what do we call this? A puke bucket? A pile of manure? Roadkill? I don't know, a cadaver in a morgue. What is it? Okay. It was unconscionable. This is a future Hall of Fame coach, Rick Carlisle, future Hall of Fame coach. He's got a ring. He eventually will have 1,000 wins. He's going to the Hall of Fame as a coach. And I mean, even the great screw up, my God, Andrew Nebhard on Jalen Brunson. I know you put Nebhard on Dame and he did okay against Dame. I still saw Dame erupt time and time again in that series. I mean, all Jalen Brunson has to do is a couple of dribbles to get to his spot and a little turnaround fadeaway jump shot over Nebhard, who can do nothing about it. Put length on him, please. Or put the pesky, doggy TJ McConnell on him, who actually gets up under Jalen Brunson, which is hard to do because Brunson's a 6'2" guy and a fire hydrant. TJ McConnell defends Brunson better than anybody on that team. And that includes Aaron Nesmith, who is an elite 3-and-D guy. To me, he's a borderline all defensive team guy, Aaron Nesmith. I love Aaron Nesmith. So it should either be TJ McConnell or Aaron Nesmith. Hell, maybe even Siakam, right? You got to put length on Jalen Brunson, like Phoenix used to do with Sean Marion on guards, right? Remember Sean Marion, the Matrix, out there on the perimeter, moving his feet. He's got his hands out guarding guards and like neutralizing the top guards in the game. Okay. You are going to get fried by Brunson if you continue. I am shocked, Doc, that Rick Carlisle continued with the same defense from game one to game two. I am shocked by that. How do you not make an adjustment? Okay. Another thing, Doc. Why did Tyrese Halliburton sit so much in the second half? Why? Oh, he's got back spasm. Boo freaking who? I don't care. Play. It's your job. Hart's out here playing 44. Jalen Brunson's playing through a damn injury. Come on, dude. Let's go. Play him more. And I don't think Halliburton would have been like waving him off like, nah, man, I'm resting over here. He'd have gone into the game. What the hell was that? Why don't you play TJ McConnell down the stretch? You subbed him out at about 6 or 5 minutes. I get a couple of minutes rest, maybe. But then bring him back in for the final 4 minutes. He did not do that. McConnell looked pissed on the bench throughout the end of that game. Here's one more for you, Doc. Why don't you go with Obi Toppin over Pascal? Oops, I just missed another mid-range jump shot. Siakam. Obi Toppin had the flamethrower last night.
All very good questions, sir. And, dude, I was sitting here in my office, and Pacers were up 12. And I stood up and walked to the kitchen and got something to drink and came back literally 5 minutes later, and the Knicks were up by 5. And I'm like, what just happened, and where did the game go? And now it's probably over. And I'm guessing Carlisle didn't make adjustments after game one because he felt like they won game one. What do you think about all this crying about the refs, dude? Like, that's a weird look. That's not a Rick Carlisle type of thing that I'm used to.
Okay, it's a really good question. I believe that Rick Carlisle completely unraveled last night and like showed a lack of poise, which is, again, very, very weird. But it was weird to see Jamal Murray do that stupid ass stuff in game two, right? He doesn't do that. Like, that's some Draymond bullshit, right? And like, what are you doing? That's what I got the vibes from Carlisle last night. Like, Rick Carlisle is getting coached, and it's not Tibbs out coaching him. Tibbs doesn't really have very many buttons to push. He's got his main dudes. He plays them the whole game, and let's just lace them up and go, right? Carlisle's the guy with maybe the deepest team in the league. He definitely has the best bench in the league. There's no doubt about that. They score 40 every game in the playoffs. They led the league in bench scoring in the regular season. They have the best bench in the league, okay? And so Siakam did not have it. Even with OG Anunoby out of the game, Siakam was missing brick after brick after brick in the fourth quarter. Obi Toppin basically made every shot he took, okay? But you can't bench Siakam because then maybe you would piss off your son. Who cares? Thibodeau wouldn't care. He does not care about your feelings. If you are not bringing it tonight, like Dante DiVincenzo has found the wood and watched the end of games in these playoffs for Miles McBride, okay? Mitchell Robinson finished some games over Hartenstein in the Philly series, okay? He doesn't care about your feelings. Rick Carlisle cared too much about his players' feelings last night. I don't want to wound young Andrew Nembhard's psyche, so I'm not going to pull him out and put McConnell in for him. Wrong, okay? Who cares? Nembhard's lucky to be starting for a playoff team in the second round, for the love of God. Rick Carlisle's fascination and love affair with Andrew Nembhard has to stop.
And that's been going on for 2 years. I still...
Who plays more minutes in the regular season and does less statistically in the box score than Andrew Nembhard? The guy was playing 30 a game, giving you 8 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, and 1 3 in 30 minutes.
Dude,
we get hot around here, Doc. We get hot.
Reminds me of Eric Snow back in the day. Eric Snow was like the starting point guard for Cleveland, and you were like, oh man, I can get this guy in FanDuel. Like, this is gonna be awesome. And no, you don't. You don't want to mess with Eric Snow. You probably don't want to mess with Nembhard. I'm with you. I think Nesmith, being a small forward, being taller, being longer, would be a good place to start, maybe, to defend Jalen Brunson. But, I mean, I feel like McConnell wants the job. And I feel like McConnell feels like he's earned the job. And I feel like McConnell's like, dude, just look at the film. You'll see what I'm doing to him. Just let me go guard him, and let's see what happens. So maybe we'll get there in game three.
All right, maybe we will. All right, so let's move on a little bit here, Doc, and talk about tonight's games. Cleveland at Boston, game two. Dr. A. And by the way, it's the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast brought to you by Prize Picks. Check them out at prizepicks.com, and good luck. So Doc, we got Cleveland at Boston game two here. Boston is a 13.5 point favorite. 13.5. This is like some 49ers against Arizona Cardinals stuff with the point spread here. What's going on, Doc? Which side are you on here? Are you taking the points? Are you taking the points, Doc?
No. All Boston has to do is throw Giroux and Derek White out there and stop Donovan Mitchell, and it's done. It's over. So Cleveland is missing Jared Allen. Boston's missing Porzingis. Boston doesn't care if Porzingis plays or not. He'll be back eventually. They don't need him right now. Jared Allen's a bigger loss for Cleveland than Porzingis is for Boston. But the whole key to this whole Celtics thing is the defense of the backcourt. They shut everybody down. Donovan Mitchell is a one-man wrecking crew. They just got to stop him, and they're good. Darius Garland ain't going to beat them. Max Strus ain't going to beat them. I'm not touching Cleveland. I don't love giving up that many points. I'm probably just staying away from this altogether, except maybe for some prize picks. But I've got Boston sweeping Cleveland, and that continues tonight.
I'm going to lay the 13.5 points with Boston as well tonight, guys. I don't like the number, but I would go there. I would here. If you guys look, it would not be a 5-star play for me. It would be like a 3-star play maybe, because the line is so big. But the likelihood is that Boston is going to cover this. So it depends on your appetite for a big point spread like this. I'd put it at about a 5-star rating. The Celtics won game one by 25 points, okay? The law of averages is always big with this stuff. Tatum and Horford and Holiday all had down games. They're all going to play better tonight. And you say, all right, well, then Jaylen Brown's going to come back to earth, right? Probably, but maybe not. Jaylen Brown is on one right now. Like Edwards, like Brunson. Not to that level, okay, because he's got so many studs around him, but he had 33 in game one. He is cooking since the All-Star break. Statistically, it has been a co-Batman, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, since the All-Star break, okay? Not just in the playoffs, since the All-Star break. Really, in these playoffs, I felt more of a Batman thing for Jaylen Brown and a Robin thing for Jason Tatum. Mitchell had a strong game with 33, and they lost by 25 points, people. Mobley had a strong game, 17 and 13. They still lost by 25. Darius Garland probably has a better game than 6 out of 15 shooting, but maybe not, okay? And how much better will he really be, okay? He's living in the teens in these playoffs. Jared Allen, will he play? They were saying on the broadcast last night, stuff like he didn't do much in practice. It doesn't look like he's going to play much in this series, okay? So we have that to go on. It doesn't look good that Jared Allen's going to come join this party. Cleveland got 15 bench points in game one. They are not the Indiana Pacers, okay? So I think Boston's got Cleveland right where they want them, and they're going to go in for the kill tonight and smash them again, probably another 20-point blowout. All right, Doc, let's move on to Dallas and OKC. Game two tonight from PayCab in downtown Oklahoma City. OKC is laying 5.5. Doc, who you got?
I did not enjoy game one. Dallas kind of hung around but never really threatened. This OKC team, as fun as Ant and the Wolves are, I mean, this team is right there with them. And you got SGA. You got Lou Dort draped all over Luka, just like we said he was going to be. That plan worked out pretty well. Luka did not shoot it well. He was 1 of 8 from downtown, had 5 turnovers. Kind of disrupted what Dallas does, kind of disrupted the offense. I think it'll be interesting to see if Jason Kidd makes adjustments to try to run more screens for Luka to get open and get the defender off of him, because I think Luka needs more room to work than Dort was giving him to work with. So there's that. And then Jalen Williams is just such a stud, and Chet Holmgren. I think we should be in for another good battle like we were for game one, but I have a feeling this is a little bit like this Indy New York series where the Thunder are just a little bit better than Dallas, and it's enough to easily sway the series in their direction.
So you, a bunch of great analysis right there.
Was it? I don't know. I was just talking.
5.5. 5.5.
I'm going with...
Make a pick! Make a pick!
The Thunder -5.5.
Okay. Doc, you're going to love this, dude. You're going to love this. I'm on Dallas. I'm on Dallas tonight. Luka didn't come to party in game one, Doc. Your boy, Luka, didn't come to party. He's got to join the party tonight, and I think he will. Luka let his left knee tell him how it's going to be. Pardon me. I think it's his right. I forget what knee it is. He let his knee tell him how it's going to be in game one. Mind over matter. If I were Jason Kidd, I wouldn't show Luka film of game one. I would show him film of Jalen Brunson. That's what I would do, Doc.
Is that what you would do?
That's what I would do. And I would maybe put in the movie Rocky. Da 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 da. Right? Get him fired up. Let's go. Come on. Let's go. Come on. I know you got a bad knee, it's sprained, blah blah. Boo-hoo. It's the playoffs, man. Hallie's got a back. Brunson's got a foot. Mitchell's got a knee. Who else? Murray's got a calf. Come on, man. No, this ain't it. 19 points, brah? No. Watch Jalen Brunson. Do you think he's healthy? Do you think he's healthy, Luka? Let's go, bro. Come on.
Dude, the torture chamber.
Player or not, right? This is what separates the greats from the guys that are, like, purportedly great. And Luka is great. But come on, dude. Hey, Doc, I think he let his knee tell him how he was going to play in game one. And I think tonight he's got to tell his knee how he's going to play tonight. Tyrese Halliburton did that last night, Doc. He said in game one, my back was hurting, blah, blah, blah. I thought that being more of a playmaker was the right way to go. He said I was wrong. And so what did we see in the first half? He was way more aggressive last night, and then he took his foot off the gas in the second half, and that was dumb as hell. And it's probably the reason why they lost. But Doc, in the first half, he told his back how it was going to be. His back didn't tell him how it was going to be. So I think Luke has got to do that tonight. And I like the Mavericks to cover the spread, baby.
Well, that's interesting. I don't know. The thing about Luka is Dort was trying to make a statement, and Dort was trying to get into Luka's head and to throw him off his game. I think he did all those things very effectively. The key is, can Dallas adjust and come back and do something differently that will help Luka be more comfortable out there? I don't know if it was as much the knee as it was Dort, or if it was a combo, or if the knee was the big problem. I'm not really sure, but Luka did not look great in that game. Kyrie only took, 14 shots in game one? 7 of 14?
That's correct.
Kyrie needs to shoot 25 to 30 times, especially if Dort's draped all over Luka. Then Kyrie needs to be selfish and take over and get out there and just go to the rack.
I agree. I think Kyrie's going to be a lot better tonight. He and Luka combined for 39 points on 13 of 33 shooting in game one. Guys, I'm a big law of averages guy. I'm a big ebb and flow, bounce back. It took the injury, but I did tell the world on NBA radio that Jalen Brunson was going to come back to earth a little bit last night and not have 40 points. I got it right, but I needed an injury to get it right, so I'm not taking any credit for that because I do think he would have had 40 if he was healthy. But I have Dallas. And look, I had Dallas winning the series coming in seven. And so I'm not bailing on Dallas after a dud in game one. I'm not. But, it's all on Luka to me. Luka's got to bring it tonight. So let's get to some prizepicks.com projections, Doc. And I want to start with Evan Mobley here. Evan Mobley, his point prop is 13.5. 13.5 for Evan Mobley. I'm going more on this prize pick projection here. He had 17 in game one. There will be no Kristaps Porzingis. There probably will be no Jared Allen. And to me, Doc, Cleveland's got to feed Evan Mobley and get him involved and lathered up in the first quarter. He got rolling a little bit in the fourth quarter, but the game was already over. It can't be the Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland show. It's got to be the Cavs. Strus has got to be plopping threes. And we saw Coro had a good start in game one. Mitchell and Garland ain't doing this by themselves. They have a crew. They need to use their crew. And so, I don't know if they're going to make that adjustment. I thought Carlisle was going to make an adjustment on his defense of Brunson. He did not do that. Maybe J.B. Bickerstaff operates the same exact way, okay? Maybe Donovan Mitchell has blinders on just like game one, Doc. But I do like the more on Evan Mobley at 13.5 points. How about you?
Yeah, I do too. He's 13.5 points. I like the more there. He's 11.5 rebounds. I also like the more there. And Max Strus, 9.5 points, more or less. I kind of like more there as well. After what Strus had a big run in what game two, I think. So, those are three Cleveland things I like. As I said when I did the ad read, kind of down on Donovan Mitchell right now, just because he's got to deal with trying to get through that Berlin Wall of Derek White and Drew Holiday. So I would take the less on the 31.5 Mitchell points.
I hear you. That's a stay away for me. That's just a stay away. The numbers right around, like SGA's number, the more or less on him, I believe is 29.5. Well, guess what? That's where he lives. He's going to be at 30, 31, 27, 28, 29. I just, you know me, Doc. I'm looking for that little area, that little wiggle room, right? And I just, when the number's kind of right where it should be, I don't really see the wiggle room. Let's go to the projection here for Jason Tatum, 26.5 points, more or less. I'm more on this, Doc. And this isn't a great number based on his playoff average. He's around 21, 22 a game. Okay, like, whoa, we have a 26.5 projection here. Okay, guess what? I think that the brilliant odds makers at Prize Picks are looking at this like, yo, Tsunami Tatum is coming to party tonight at TD Garden. I look at it the same way, Doc. He is beyond due for an eruption, beyond due. His playoff flow has gone 28 in the first game against Miami, then 22, then 20, then 16, then 18, okay? That's not Jason Tatum. He's shooting 40% in the playoffs overall, 25% from three. He has 20 shots taken in one game in the playoffs, and that was game one against Miami. He will get over 20 shots tonight. He will get, I believe, around 30 points tonight. And Doc, I'm going more on the projection here for Tatum at 26.5. Do I have your ear with that?
Yeah, Tatum's been weird all year, though, right? Like, he finished top 15 in fantasy, I believe. He wasn't even in the MVP conversation despite playing for the team with the best record in basketball. Like you said, today and last week and the week before, Jaylen Brown is on run, and he's basically playing harder and more aggressively than Jason Tatum has been. It's been a weird year for Tatum because I think everybody looks at Tatum as one of the up-and-coming stars, yet everybody's talking about Anthony Edwards now, and everybody's talking about Jalen Brunson, and Jokic wins MVP, and people are talking about Luka. I feel like Tatum's sort of being left behind right now. So if anyone was due for a big playoff statement type game, it would be Jason Tatum. And I've been waiting for it all year. I'm not drafting Tatum in the first round of fantasy drafts next year. I'm not doing it.
No, not with the crew that they have right now. Okay, Jrue Holiday in his last year in Milwaukee was, I don't know, Doc, off the top of my head, 17 points, 5 rebounds, 7 or 8 assists, like 1.7 steals, like 2 plus threes, right? Like a really, really good stat line. And, you know, he goes to Boston, and it's 12 points, 3 or 4 rebounds, 5 assists. He wasn't even at a steal or a block, 1.5 threes or whatever it was. They're just too good. They just have too many mouths to feed. You know, Tatum's scoring came way down from last year. Brown's scoring in the first half of the season came way down from last year. So let's talk about Kyrie Irving's projection here, Dr. A. It is the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast brought to you by PrizePicks.com with Rick Kamla and FSWA Hall of Famer Steve Alexander, a.k.a. Dr. A. Kyrie Irving's projection on PrizePicks is 24, more or less. Doc, this is all about competitive greatness. This is all about a bounce back. And Kyrie Irving had a little duel with Jalen Williams at the beginning of the fourth quarter. Kyrie played solid, 50%, shooting 20 points. He just didn't get enough shots. And like you were saying, he needs 25 to 30 shots tonight. I don't know if he's going to get 30 shots on a Luka team, but he could get 25. But regardless, I see him going more on this projection of 24. I'm feeling Kyrie tonight, Doc.
Yeah, I think we have to because I feel like Dort is going to try to stop Luka again. Kyrie's going to have to play hero ball. Kyrie can score 24 in his sleep. So that should not be that hard for him to hit the more than 24 on that. So I actually love that one. I'm probably going to get in and do me a little prize picks parlay tonight, and that'll be part of it.
So as we continue on here, Josh Giddey's projection for points is 8.5. I am more on this. He's been over this number in three of the last four games at 14, 21, and 13. Game one was weird. 2 points on 1 of 4 shooting in 17 minutes. If you look at his playoff pattern in game one against New Orleans, he was dreadful. Didn't score, didn't shoot, didn't really play very much. But then the next three games, he had a bounce back in game two and then was good the rest of the series. I don't know if this is a thing with Giddey where he needs to sort of ease into a series and feel it out and figure it out, and then he comes out cooking, but that's the pattern so far. So I'm going to ride that pattern, Doc, and I'm going to go more on his projection of 8.5 points. How about you?
Yes, I am with you for the same reason. That game one stat line was weird. And even having watched most of that game, I didn't really notice what was going on at the time. And then after the game, I was like, "What? Where was Josh Giddey and what happened?" Like you said, man, every time we count that kid out, he bounces back big. And it's happened over and over again over the last couple of years. So I have I have faith that Josh Giddey is coming back strong tonight.
And then one more prize picks projection for you, Doc. Jalen Williams at 20.5 points, more or less. I am more on this, Doc. His playoff low has gone 19, 21, 21, 24, 18. So he's over the number in 3 out of 5, just below the number in the other two. Very consistent, basically flatline production right there, which you like to see. He's been over this number in 3 of 5 games in the playoffs. And to me, he's due for a breakout game. He had 18, 5, and 5 in game one, Doc, but he had like no points at halftime, very little until the fourth quarter, and then he exploded. And so I think we're going to get more of an overall game from J-Dub tonight. So I'm going more on his projection of 20.5 points.
Yeah, sadly, I'm exactly there with you again. And this reminds me of the Jason Tatum thing, like kind of due for a blow-up game, kind of due to do something that makes everybody say, wow. And I think that's where Jalen Williams is right now, because SGA is going to do the same thing he does every night. Chet pretty much does the same thing. And it really comes down to Jalen and guys like Lu Dort and Josh Giddey to step up. And I feel like Giddey's going to bounce back. I also feel like Jalen is gonna have a big game in Oklahoma City as well. Like, this is a big game for the Thunder. Like, I feel like they have to win this game at home. If they lose tonight, they're gonna feel like they're in trouble, and they need to come out with all cylinders firing tonight and try to bury Dallas in this game.
He is Dr. A. I am the Fantasy Freak. We are the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Prize Picks. We're the OGs. Let's get to some DFS advice here, Doc. And I'm gonna kind of blow through my list right here for the people, and then it'll be your turn here. So, at point guard, I am fading Luka Doncic tonight. I am fading Luka Doncic. he just has not been right. He's dragging the knee. I'm barking at him to tell your knee how it's going to go. Don't let your knee tell you how it's going to go. Okay, but how is it going to work tonight? All I know is his DraftKings number is 11,600. No. Way too much of a leap of faith given his health right now. SGA is money at 9,500. I'd way rather go SGA with the pay up than Luka. I like Garland at 6,300. I think we're going to get a bounce back game tonight. And that's pretty low dough for Darius Garland, shooting guard. I like Kyrie Irving at 8,700. I mean, think about it. Kyrie Irving's at 8,700. Luka's at 11,600. Stop it. Give me Kyrie. I like Kyrie more at 8,700 than I like Donovan Mitchell at 8,800. Okay. I'm really feeling Kyrie tonight. I like Derek White at 6,700. No, he's not going to have 25 again, but guess what? He'll have a really solid stat line again. I do like him at 6,700. I like Giddey, another shooting guard here, at 5,700. Again, I see a bounce back game. Small forward, I love Jaylen Brown at 8,000. I love him at 8,000, okay? I like J-Dub at 7,600. I do. And a dice roll for you, I got Sam Hauser at 3,700. He does nothing on the road. He has big games at home. Okay. And he did not have a big game one. He had two big home games against Miami. And so it's been a couple of games since he's had that like 4 or 5 3 ball pop game, that Sam Hauser game. I'm feeling the Sam Hauser game tonight. I got him at 3,700. I love Jason Tatum at 9,400. He's super due. I love Evan Mobley at 7,700. I think a big one's coming tonight. Maybe a 20-10er. Is that too much to ask? I love Chet Holmgren at 7,100. Because we saw the Gafford and Chet, like that's a good matchup. They're in the ring, they're throwing punches. Like Chet, you know, this isn't a bad matchup for him. He's going to get his numbers. I like Chet at 7,100. I think Horford is solid at 5,700, Doc. He's been 20 or more DraftKings points in most of these games without KP. And then I do like Gafford at 4,900 as a good dice roll. So that's what I got there, Doc, for a little DFS for the people tonight.
Yeah, I think your plan of skipping Luka and going with cheaper point guards, pretty good idea tonight. Josh Giddey's going to be cheap, like we talked about. And he's due for a bounce back, so I like Giddey a lot. I think you can get away with Darius Garland, Derek White, something like that, where you still have a bunch of money left over when you're done without blowing your whole bank on SGA or Luka. I don't think you do that. I'm not messing with Tatum. He's due to bounce back, but I don't trust him to bounce back. I'm not messing with Donovan Mitchell. There's too much defense happening in Boston's backcourt to do that. All in on Jaylen Brown. Ride the hot hand. I really like Evan Mobley tonight. I think that's a solid value play. And then if you're looking for cheap, any of those bigs in Dallas, Danny Gafford, PJ Washington, Derek Lively, all them I'm good with. Peyton Pritchard might be sneaky if you really want to go cheap point guard tonight too. But also, Dallas keeps doing everything they do without a small forward. Josh Green sort of made some noise in game one. I would not be surprised to see him do some stuff tonight. I think as cheap as he's going to be salary-wise, Josh Green is a decent move for this game.
All right, Doc, I am out of ammo here. I think it's time to say goodbye to the people. You got anything more? You got anything more in the chamber? Or we saying holla until next week and best of fortune with these opportunities tonight.
Dude, it's been raining, pouring down rain at my house for 24 straight hours. And I'm just glad that the internet stayed with us. The power stayed with us. We made it. I'll be back on Tuesday with Kyrian. You and I'll be back next Thursday on the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by PrizePicks. See ya.